Well, you still have time, not a lot of time, but you still have a little time to fund your 2016 IRA account. And, you know, over the years, the amounts that you can contribute to these tax privilege accounts have grown. They're now pretty substantial and certainly worth considering for your 2016 contribution if you have not made it. Has to be covered by earnings, but you're allowed to put up to $5,500, or if you're 50 or older, up to $6,500 into your tax privileged account, whether it be a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. Fact is that it's a very, very good idea for most people to take advantage of this kind of a provision. Now, you may qualify for a tax deduction on the amount, actually take the amount off the top if you do the traditional, depending on whether you qualify. And on the Roth, of course, that money goes in there. If you follow the rules, there won't ever be any tax on that money at the federal level. $5,500 under age 50, $6,500 age 50 or more, that contribution amount is still available through tomorrow, April 17th. For your 2016 IRA contribution. You know, a lot of people wonder, well, what would my money grow to at a certain rate? If you invested just $5,500 a year in your IRA at 6%, after 20 years, it would be worth $214,000, which is a lot of growth. That would just be a 6% rate of return. Over a 20-year period, $5,500 would grow to $214,000. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So if you had a spouse in the house, as long as the contributions are covered by your earnings, your spouse doesn't have to work because your spouse gets the ability also to fund a spousal IRA, but has to be covered by your earnings in that case. Or if your spouse is working, your spouse's earnings. That would be $11,000 a year if you each did the $5,500. That would mean after 20 years at 6%, you would have $428,000 just from that one contribution. This is what we talk about. When you hear me waxing on about the land of critical mass, this is the kind of saving and investing that we talk about. And this is particularly attractive because of the tax treatment. The tax privileged treatment that you get, whether you do a traditional or a Roth, all of that money that is accumulating over all of that time is not taxed. In the case of a Roth, if you follow the rules, it's never taxed. In the case of a traditional IRA, it would only be taxed in retirement at your prevailing rate at that time. So this one is kind of a no-brainer. And I would strongly urge all of our money talkers who have not taken advantage of it to go ahead and take advantage of it. Obviously, you can fund your 2017 IRA anytime through the next tax filing deadline next year. But fact of the matter is, no brainer to go ahead and fund your 2016 IRA, which you still have a little bit of time to do. You can do it tomorrow. Do it Monday, April 17th. Totally fine. Since April 15th fell on a weekend, the tax filing deadline is extended to Monday, April 17th. And I would also add that for those of you that are looking at your 401k, 403b, 457 contribution, keep in mind that those limits are way up now, way, way up now. You have an $18,000 annual limit now on 401k contribution and 403b contribution and 457. But in the 401k, you can add another 6,000 if you're age 50 or more, bringing that number up to 24,000. There are also provisions that will enable you to add more given certain rules in the 403b. But in the 401k, very straightforward, 18,000 plus 6,000 if you're 50 or older, that's 24,000. You know, $18,000, that's $1,500 a month, right? And 24,000, that's $2,000 a month. So this is a pretty heavy duty savings and investment program. program that you can put together in these types of accounts. And when we have callers on the broadcast who tell us that they have amassed critical mass in their tax-privileged accounts, the way they do it is the way we just talked about, by taking advantage of these programs. And for heaven's sakes, if you're in a 401k or 403b with a matching program where your employer will match a percentage of your up to your maximum amount that they contribute the matching program, for heaven's sakes, take care of that. We've talked about free money. That's free money. But let's get out to Illinois, the land of Lincoln. Tony, welcome to Money Talk.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing well.
Listener.
Appreciate the call.
My question is, if your income is too high to take advantage of a deductible IRA and, of course, the Roth, and I do max out totally in my 401k at work, the catch-up provisions and the regular. So my question is, I read some articles. I don't see where it really is a great thing or a good advantage to make non-deductible IRA contributions. Although I've done that over the years, I'm thinking of stop doing that. There's some articles I've seen where you can do just as well if you're in an index fund. But I'll be quiet if I've presented the question properly.
No, you don't have to be quiet. I would ask you, what are the negatives that you've seen on non-deductibles?
Well, because when you start taking the money out, right, you have to keep track of your basis, and I've done that. It's like an 8903 or something form. But then it just seems like it's rather complicated when you at the point and you start withdrawing, if you've got a lot of money in your 401ks, and it just seems like that's all the math you're going to have to do. And then I think the articles were saying if you just invested like in an S&P 500 index where there's, where that's tax efficient, that in the long run, it's about all I can remember, that you'd probably be in the same place.
I think there's something to be said, and we've talked about the tax efficiency of index investing, and I think that whether you're in the S&P 500 or the total stock market index, and let me give you an example, both Vanguard and Fidelity, which were mentioned during this hour by a caller, they both have excellent vehicles where you can invest either in the S&P 500 or in the total stock market index, which gives you some exposure in the smaller and mid-cap area. And you're getting an annual cash dividend of close to 2%. And in a taxable account, that's a taxable event. But remember that has a preferential tax rate under the code. You pay a lower rate on qualified dividends, such as the dividend you would collect on those types of index funds. So you have those funds. And frankly, they tend to be fairly stable in terms of their holdings. They do make changes on a regular basis, subject to changes in the index, so that they can stay in concert with the holdings of the index. But they're not in and out trading stocks, doing all that short-term stuff. They don't do any of that, really. They just try to stay with the index. So as a result, you don't tend to get a lot of unnecessary distributions like you would in a fund that's doing a lot of short-term trading. Short-term trading is very, very tax inefficient. So the bottom line, because that's all taxed as ordinary income, so you want your distributions as much as possible to come in the form of long-term capital gains where, again, you're getting preferential treatment. So, I think I have to agree, Tony, with the tone of the article you cited, which is you are going to tend to get a high level of tax efficiency if you're investing in a low-cost index fund, such as I mentioned at Vanguard or Fidelity, for the total stock market or the S&P 500. Now, will that beat the tax treatment you're going to get in a non-deductible IRA contribution? Well, I guess you won't know that till the end of the term, right? But is it competitive? I think it is.
Okay, so would you personally do that, invest in a non-deductible IRA or not?
I have not invested in non-deductible IRAs. I certainly do have IRAs, but they are not non-deductible IRAs.
Yeah. Bob, I remember you came out this way to the Drury Lane Theater probably about 15 years ago.
I'll tell you when that was. That was, I think that was in, I'm going to think that was
Oak Park.
Oak Park, right. I think it was something around, let me just see if I can get that date. I'm going to say, well, I might not get it exact, Tony, but I'm going to say I was there right around the year 2000, right in that area. And, wow, we had fun. We had a sellout, and we had a lot of fun. I love Chicagoland. Love the Windy City. More to come. Stay with us. Bob Brinker here. It's the flight of the Starship
this
Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.